Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. Another edition of No Bets Barred, this time for UFC Atlantic City. Aaron Blanchfield taking on Manon Fiorot in the beautiful state of New Jersey. We are back, and I will be there, boots on the ground, representing No Bets Barred in attendance to sweat out. Jed, I got some kind of action on every single fight this card. I mean, I feel like you just have to.
Wow. Every fight. Okay.
Every fight. Some way, shape, or form, whether it's a parlay piece or like an actual bet. Yeah, you just got to do it. You just got to do it if you're going to be in attendance. I'm also a get there first prelim, ready to rock and roll. So, America's Playground, Atlantic City. I'm ready to get after it on Saturday.
I'm excited to hear this. I do not have bets on everything. I've got a fair number because, again, you know, we're out of the apex. It is a slightly elevated card than what we've had the last couple of weeks. Still not willing to say it's good, but it's not bad.
There are some good fights on this card.
Yeah, there definitely are some good fights. And for all the fights that are good, there sure are a lot of them. There are a lot of fights on this card, if nothing else. So you're going to get your money's worth going, bud.
Big, I mean, 14.
They've got a 14 coming your way unless, you know, knock on wood, something changes. So big times for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been to an event in person, to a UFC event in person since July of 2022. So it's going to be good to be back in the arena. Still, one day I'll cross the old pay-per-view off the bucket list. But for now, UFC Atlantic City will have to do. And there's some local talent. There's some local talent going this weekend. We're going to talk about it. Before we get into that last week, winning week, bounce back.
Woo!
Winning week. Feels
That's
good to be back in the win column.
It.
Feels good to be back in the win column. How do we do over there in Jed's world?
Also a winning week.
Oh, we're
up
on
two
fire.
Units. We're climbing.
We are on fire, baby.
We dug ourselves a hole, and we're starting to climb out of it. So,
listen, I don't know. You want me to be totally honest? I might have to really start climbing out post UFC 300 because we got this week. I got to bet on every single fight. That's just the way that I roll if I'm going to an event in person. Next week, just a tough card. Tough card. Might be one of those 1, 2, or 3 bet type cards. And then UFC 300, going to have a bet on every single fight. There's no doubt about that. You're just going to have to do it for UFC 300. And I'm going to be betting with my heart a lot. And I can tell you, the heart is going to be rooting for some underdogs at UFC 300. So could face some losing weeks ahead, but I'm all right with it. You got to pay the piper to have a little bit of fun.
I mean, if you can't have fun at UFC 300, don't just turn off the podcast. We don't want you here because we're not good bettors. We're fun bettors, Connor. We're out here to have a good time. And if you can't do it at 300, then why even do it at all? That's all I ask, you know?
That's what we're going to do this weekend, too. We're going to have some fun. So let's dive in. UFC Atlantic City. Blanchfield, Fiorot, number one contender fight. Great fight, too. Great fight. Just going back and watching some tape. Both these girls are nasty. Have yet to see a loss in the UFC. Right now, the line is moving in favor of the hometown girl in Erin Blanchfield. Now you can get her for minus 185. Manon Fiorot coming back at plus 154. You've, in the past, spoken strongly about cold-blooded Blanchfield. How do you see this one going?
I mean, this is a simple breakdown for me. Anyone who's listened to our pods, any of the MMA fighting YouTube stuff knows I think Erin Blanchfield is the best women's fighter on the planet, just bar none. I think she would have quite a good opportunity to win the bantamweight title if she just got plopped in there against Rocky Pennington. I think it is not a matter of if, simply when she becomes the flyweight champion. I was frankly hoping it would happen this year, but with them now doing tough for Valentina Shevchenko, Alexa Grasso, Blanchfield may just not get the opportunity. So my future bet on Erin Blanchfield could be looking tough, but I put a future on her for a reason, Connor. It doesn't matter who she's in against. I think she's waxing them all. Manon Fiorot is a very good fighter. We have supported her on this very program before. Obviously one of your people, certainly, but I don't think she has the pop on the feet to really like create huge problems for Blanchfield. So I think Blanchfield can compete on the feet, though I would certainly favor Manon there. And on the floor, I think this is one-way traffic. Blanchfield's going to give her the business. I do think, though Manon has pretty good takedown defense, has not been taken down a lot in her UFC career, there's a world of difference between Jennifer Maia shooting doubles on you and someone with the athletic acumen of Erin Blanchfield. She's only getting better. She's, what, 24? How old is Erin Blanchfield? She turned 25 next week. So, you know, April. So next month, sorry. I think she's going to have a great Saturday. Wouldn't be shocked if Manon made it all the way through. Very, very durable, very tough fighter, because I wasn't confident in picking a side. Because as we talked about last week, doing real bad on my method of victory bets. We just went Erin Blanchfield straight up minus 180.
We have discussed before. I am a part of the Manon Mafia, the Fiorot family. I have ridden with Manon Fiorot, I believe, in all six of her UFC bouts, if I am not mistaken. I've stood by her through thick and thin, and she's been a bit of a couch cow for me. But where I'm sitting right now, the 07305, New Jersey, where I lay my head, the Garden State, how can I go against the face of New Jersey MMA? How can I go against the woman who is trying to become the next champion out of the great state of New Jersey? I'm a Jersey guy through and through. I mean, it's everything that New York wants to be, is the great state of New Jersey. And listen, my hands are tied. My hands are tied. I'm forced to leave the family. I'm forced to leave the Manon Mafia and join the other side and ride with Erin Blanchfield. This fight takes place anywhere but New Jersey, and I'm not going. I'm laying the plus money on Manon Fiorot. But because I will be there, because I'm going to drive my car down to Atlantic City, and the whole time that I do that, I will be staying in the great state of New Jersey. And if I were to get pulled over, I'd have to show the great New Jersey police officer my New Jersey license. How can I go against Erin Blanchfield? How can I do it? I can't.
You just can't do it. It's what you got to do. So I understand. We're happy to have you on the Blanchfield bandwagon. I mean, it's full at this point. There's just everyone.
Oh, it's full.
Everyone is on board.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody's on board. This might just be a one fight deal. Might just be a 10-day contract for me on being a Blanchfield backer. But I'm going to do it. And you'll see a theme as we go throughout. You know, I'm supporting local here. And I took Blanchfield last week before we even recorded the podcast last week, when I asked you if you were nervous about her being only like a minus 135 favorite. So I've been sitting on Blanchfield, knew I was going to take her. Do you feel any better now that the line is inflated?
No, I feel the same. Aaron Blanchfield is like, I was thinking about it this week, right? Because we're coming off Rose Namajunas finally getting a win at flyweight, and the conversation, you know, Rose saying, I'd fight Macy Barber, but I'd love to fight the winner of next week's main event. And people being like, well, now that Tough's happening, maybe that timeline. But if you're either Manon or Blanchfield, why would you take it? This is essentially like, this is a number one contender's fight this Saturday. And 99 times out of 100, I'm like, yeah, just sit and wait. This is even one of those where I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, put Blanchfield's just going to run whoever. And so if she wants to run Rose now instead of run her later, that's fine as well. So I just have utter confidence in this woman to the degree that I used to with like John Jones and just people of that ilk. Like, I just think she is 24. She is already the best fighter in the world, and she is getting leaps and bounds better every time out.
You're pound for pound number one right now.
No, because I do my pound for pound rankings on like a scoring system, but I do think I have her like four or something. Wiley Zhang deserves to be the pound for pound number one female fighter because of what she has accomplished. But there is not there is not a woman alive 135 pounds or under that I would pick to beat Aaron Blanchfield until such time as I see Kayla Harrison make 135 and compete. If she makes 135 and competes, maybe we'll reevaluate that. But I would pick Blanchfield to beat anybody at bantamweight right now as well. So I still feel good about her, you know?
All right. So, I mean, this is a win-win for me. Either we win our bets, because Blanchfield is my biggest bet. I was like, main event, New Jersey girl, I'm just going to have to do this. So either we win our bet, or I get to come on here and we can talk about it afterward.
Yeah.
We can eat crow.
I mean, look,
this is a win-win.
I'm happy to eat crow. Connor, I can't die. What is dead may never die. I already burned an enormous amount of money with the level of confidence that should not have been earned on Valentina Shevchenko. Women's flyweights can't hurt me anymore, Connor.
Have we said, I'm surprised by this line moment in 2024 yet?
I am actively attempting to never be surprised by lines anymore.
I love it. All right. So we're both riding Blanchfield.
I will say.
Going to be interesting.
Last week after we did the show, we did the show. You and I, we were both supporting of Billy Q. And then a whole bunch of money came in on Yusuf Zalal. And I was like, people know something I don't. And then I honestly had the, who was the dude who James Krause got in all that trouble for? I can't think of his name. Derek Minner. I was like, is this a Derek Minner? Is Billy going to get out there and like his shoulder falls out and he taps immediately? And then no, he just got his ass beat. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
It didn't move enough for me to like be scared of like a Minner moment, but yeah. Sharp money was definitely on Zalal, and we're not sharp money. So,
not sharp at all. But when that money came in, I was like, should I put more? I don't understand why Billy Q is now an underdog. So if you want to count that as a I'm surprised by this line, that for sure was one. And then, buddy, I'm glad I didn't do anything to that.
Yeah, that was a bad performance.
It was a bad bet on our part.
I had the over 1.5 as well, got double burned. It was great. But still managed a winning week. Yeah, they had needed 45 seconds to get that.
You know why we won the week? Carl Williams, baby. And the Nate Kelly parlay. I mean, what a genius parlay was.
Actually, Bellator is why I won the week. Bellator is the reason. Oh yeah, hit on Nate Kelly. Added the Nate Kelly fight doesn't go to a decision. Luke Trainer, great performance. Didn't hit on Jeremy Kennedy, but 3-1 up like 2.8 something units on Bellator. That was a nice way to spend the Friday afternoon.
I was basically broke even on Bell. I was like a little bit up because all I had was the Nate Kelly parlay and Fabian Edwards, and then I also missed on Jeremy Kennedy. So, but Carl Williams repping the A.
Repping the A, baby. Got it done.
Trying hard at various points in that fight to stress me out.
Especially that third round. It looked like he might get might get finished. All right. Let's move on to the co-main event of the evening. Vicente Luque taking on Joaquin Buckley. Very closely lined fight right now. You can give Vicente Luque -112. Buckley -108. I was looking at Tapology, looking at the UFC website, and I saw a Brazilian flag next to Vicente Luque's name.
Technically correct.
A little known fact about old Vicente. Born right here in the beautiful state of New Jersey. Lived the first 6 years of his life here as well. We're going to call this a homecoming. The pride of Jersey is back to make his triumphant return since going to Brazil, and he's here to get a W. If you have anything to do with the state of New Jersey this week, I will be backing you in some way, shape, or form. Honestly, this whole little area, I mean, even if you're repping Pennsylvania, if you're from right across the border, right next to Atlantic City, we might find a way to work you in there as well. In all seriousness, though, Luque has a lot of miles on him. I mean, I can agree with that. He's been in a lot of fights, a couple wars thrown in there. But he is still only 32. And he was supposed to fight a top 10 Ian Garry. Fight fell through. He's supposed to fight a top 10 Sean Brady. And now he's getting Joaquin Keen Buckley, who I don't believe is ranked right now in the welterweight division. I like Luque to get it done here, man. I feel like Buckley is like the dog of the week out there. Like I think Luque got as low as like minus 160 and it's now all the way back to even money. He is 15-4 in his last 19 fights in the UFC. And those four losses are to guys that are all currently in the top 10 of the welterweight division. Like, he is losing to some of the best guys out there. And I'm not fully sold that Joaquin Buckley is that. I like Luque to get it done here. Maybe a little Luque by points at plus 400. I got Vicente Luque.
I don't hate that prop bet. I'm on Vicente Luque straight up, just even money. The question is, how shot is he, right? Because he's definitely got some city miles on him, you know?
He's got some miles. He's been driving the turnpike
just every day, clocking the odometer up and up. But he's really good. And just like his peak is certainly higher than Joaquin Buckley's peak. Now, granted, Buckley has now looked good since dropping back to welterweight and is still a young man himself. So there's always powerful dudes, always a possibility. But the longer the fight goes, the more safe Luque gets, right? Like, I don't think Buckley's finishing abilities tend to drop off as the fight goes on. He's usually getting things done earlier than late. Luque, again, has been jawed a lot, but still is staying in these fights even when he gets hurt, competing. The RDA fight, the most recent one, that's sort of what I'm taking my cues off of here, is he was more than willing to really go to his grappling and engage that part of MMA, which he has the skills, right? Just sometimes he likes to chuck them. But he found a path and just hammered it against RDA. I look like an idiot as I bet RDA that fight. And
RDA is a tough night at the office for anyone, too.
Man. RDA's still damn good.
He's coming off 25 hard minutes with him.
And Luque was just, I'm going to do the winning thing. I think he can do that against Buckley. And basically this comes down to, I think he can win on the feet and on the floor. I think Buckley is probably restricted to winning on the feet here. And as long as Luque's chin holds up early, I think he should be in good position late. And I still think the old dog's got a few more miles in him. So I'm on Luque straight minus 110.
All right. I'm on the exact same bet. Let's keep it rolling.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a
360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
Bruno Silva taking on Chris Weidman. The All-American returns, trying to get back in the win column right now. Bruno Silva minus 285, Weidman plus 230. How do you feel about this one?
I am conflicted. Not conflicted because I have a bet, so I know who I'll be supporting. I reflexively was like, oh, Chris Weidman, why are we still doing this? This is going to go poorly. And a large part of me still believes that, but sometimes you got to just not listen to those parts of your brain, Connor. You got to just be like, hey, I don't care about you, logic and reason. You know what I care about? I care about the vibes. I care about Chris Weidman in Jersey. I care about Chris Weidman has a clear path to victory over the worst opponent he's faced in a long time. You know who this is the worst opponent Chris Weidman has faced since? Since Amari Akhmedov. Guess what Chris Weidman did? He beat Amari Akhmedov. I think he can get this done. It will not surprise me if Weidman goes out there and gets tagged up by Bruno Silva because his chin is just not there anymore. He's coming off the long injury. I mean, not coming off it because he did have the Brad Tavares fight, but you just never know if a fighter is ever going to fully recover from something like that and just also having a little bit of miles on him. But Bruno Silva, the way you beat Bruno Silva, you take him down. You just take him down, and you know what? You submit him. A lot of dudes have been submitting him. Chris Weidman is a All-American wrestler, an ADCC, like accomplished dude, a guy who can grapple his ass off. I looked at Weidman by submission. That number is honestly still a little appealing if you're feeling that way, but I just decided enough's enough. Plus 240 on Weidman straight is what I'm going to take, and so that's what I'm in.
Wow. Plus 240 on Weidman straight.
It's just a lot. It's a lot of a number for a dude who gets submitted a lot against a guy who can tackle and grapple.
Okay, let me play the devil's advocate there. If we're playing the get submitted a lot, tackle and grapple, Chris Weidman has been knocked out in six of his seven losses.
I won't be at all surprised if he just gets tagged immediately.
20 wins by knockout.
I'm sorry. I thought you said at the start of this, if there was anybody, if you have even a tacit relationship or connection to New Jersey, if you have even been
what
to
is
the
this,
state
being
of
from
New
York?
Jersey before, yeah, I, you were throwing
from
in,
New York.
You were talking about Pennsylvania, just like right around Pennsylvania.
We need to teach you Atlantic City geography here. I mean, you might as well be next door neighbors with Pennsylvania, New York. I mean, well, that's three. He's on that on Long Island. That might as well be another planet, 3.5-4 hours. I mean,
New York Jersey, they're right there. They're next to each other.
New York and Jersey, but we're talking Atlantic City to Long Island here. Now we're playing a big game. All right. I mean,
I gotta say, he's a lot more connected to Jersey than Bruno Silva. You know?
Well, that's for damn sure. That's for damn sure. I mean, Bruno Silva, no connection to Jersey whatsoever. I don't hate it. That's what I want to do is bet on Chris Weidman. But is Chris Weidman going to win this fight?
Can I throw you one more thing to maybe help get you over?
Please.
Just, I don't know if you saw this in the research, but I had this in the back pocket because I felt maybe you'd push back. I was hopeful that this would just be a Wolfpack wager. It's like, you know, I get it. Chris Weidman, 4-0 in Atlantic City. Wow. First four fights of his MMA career came in Atlantic City. Won all of them. Dominant displays. Three first round finishes and a decision win in Ring of Combat title.
Ring of Combat. Ring of Combat. Wow. Uriah Hall. That's actually pretty crazy that they fought.
It's just
Ring of Combat.
I mean, this man dominates the city of New Jersey. City of Atlantic City.
City of Atlantic.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. All four of them came in Atlantic City.
You're talking about a homecoming for Vicente Luque. This is a homecoming for Chris Weidman.
Okay. All right. Here's what we're going to do. So what I am on is on the under 2.5 because I do
agree
with you.
I think that's reasonable.
I do agree with you that Bruno Silva has been submitted 7 times. Like, he gets submitted. And Chris Weidman, high-level wrestler, has submissions on his record. That is the clear path for him. The clear path is to get this fight to the mat. If he stands and strikes with Bruno Silva, I really think he's going to get knocked out. You mentioned easiest opponent in a long time. He's coming off the Brad Tavares fight, and Bruno Silva absolutely iced Brad Tavares out last year. Like, Bruno Silva...
The MMA math is tough.
I'm doing the MMA math there. I mean, it's just like Bruno Silva can put out anyone, and Chris Weidman can get put out. So, like, I think there's multiple ways that this fight gets finished. I think you've officially talked me into taking my next losing submission prop.
I love it.
And that's Chris Weidman by submission. I'm actually going to wait for it to come out on a couple other books to see if I can get a better price than plus 550.
I doubt it'll move too much.
I don't think it'll move too much, but like, I think I could maybe get like it opened plus 900. I think I can get a stab at like plus 6, plus 700. Just a little sprinkle, just for the fun of it. It's going to be the featured bout of the evening. And like, I'm gonna be cheering for Chris Weidman. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
It's going to be electric. And let me tell you.
Could get the double hitter with the under 2.5 potentially. All right.
I'm just also here to tell you, the last time there was a man named Silva who everyone thought Chris Weidman was going to lose to, we saw that happened. A lot of factors lining up for the All-American. That's all I'm saying.
He is 2-0 against Silva's, and he's 4-0 in Atlantic City. So against this level of competition, he's 6-0.
I mean, he is a dominant force, is what we're gleaning from this.
I'm doing some last minute research here. Come on, please. Damn it. I was trying to see if he was undefeated against Brazilians as well, but...
Oh, no, there's Jacare.
Yes, Jacare. Damn it.
Trust me, sir. When I found this, when I looked at Silva, I was like, can I just do... Oh, no, Jacare is a hard no.
That was so close. I mean, he was on an insane run of Damian Maia, Anderson Silva twice, Lyoto Machida, Vitor Belfort. I mean, he just hit a string of going against Brazilians. So what is he, 5-1 against Brazilians?
Yeah.
I mean, he's no Brazilian slayer. Wow, how is his name escaping me right now? Denmark.
Oh, I can see his face. Give me a second.
Jesus, how can we not think of him? The real Brazilian beast.
Give me a moment.
Undefeated against, I mean, I have pictures of him behind me on the MMA.
Nicholas Dalby.
Nicholas Dalby, yes.
Yeah,
thank
there
you.
We go.
Just, you know, triple checking here that, you know, we haven't lost any other. All right, so I mean, he's 5-1. So when you do add all that up, 4-0 in Atlantic City, 2-0 against Silva's, 5-1 against Brazilians.
So I mean, they want Chris Weidman to get a win. They were trying to get him a win in this location. This is they figured it out. The matchmakers are smart. They're seeing 4D chess here, and we're going to take advantage by betting on him at plus 240 odds. At least that's what I'm doing.
Do I just burn the boats and just take the straight money line plus 240?
I do think it's a lot funnier for you to continue to bet sub props. What if this is the one? How great will it feel if this is the one that you finally get?
When was the last time you got a submission, dude?
It's a really good question. Gaslam, right?
2017, yeah.
2017 was 6 years or 7 years ago.
7 years ago.
But only like 6 fights ago or whatever form, 5 fights ago.
I did just want to throw out one more statistic here for Mr. Chris Weidman, and that is the fact that he is also undefeated when fighting in the month of March.
It is all lining up, Weidman.
He has never lost when he's fighting in March.
Everything coming up, Weidman.
He's only fought once, but he didn't lose.
Sure didn't.
Man, there's a lot of potential narratives surrounding Chris Weidman.
How many Americans has Bruno Silva beaten?
Gerald Meerschaert, Brendan Allen. No, he lost.
Bruno Silva did not beat Gerald Meerschaert or Brendan Allen.
He lost to both those guys. Brad Tavares he did beat.
I don't know who he fought before Brad Tavares. So
Alex Pereira. Wow, yeah, lost to him. Jordan Wright, American.
Andrew Sanchez. Okay, he's beaten some Americans. Okay. He hadn't beaten the All-American, though.
Yeah, I mean, technically he is 1-4 in his last five.
I'm not trying to talk you into betting this.
No, you did try to talk me into it, and now I think you might have successfully done it. I mean, I'm talking a half unit.
If you could just throw a sprinkle on the sub prop, that's more fun.
All right. Because
you're
Weidman's
still supporting him.
Quarter unit on a Chris Weidman sub
prop. You're still supporting him for the win.
It's gonna hit. I just don't know. All right, let's keep it moving though. Next up, another middleweight bout: Nursultan Ruzabayev taking on Cedric Dumas. Right now, Ruzabayev a large, sizable favorite at -258. Dumas coming back at +210. Do you have a wager on this one, my friend?
I do not. My one note on this fight is I just don't want to be involved in this fight. I'm going to watch it, obviously, but
yeah.
I got no interest in having money anywhere involved or just didn't want to do the research. Didn't want to do any of it. It's like, I'm good. I got plenty of other action I'm interested in. Pass.
Yeah, this is a dog or pass for me, but I don't really want to bet on the dog in SD Dumas. I don't know. Ruzabayev, I went back and watched some tape. Like, he's okay. I think his record is better than he actually is. I mean, I just feel like this is going to go like any other Ruzabayev fight. Like, he's either going to just get it done in the first round or he's going to lose by a decision. I had to put a bet down, though. What I did go with was the under 1.5, just so I could stay away from a side. 9 straight first-round finishes for Ruzabayev. 29 of his 33 wins come in the first or second round. I mean, I feel like he's going to win. And if he does it, I think he'll do it early. His last 5 losses are by decision. So like an SD Dumas by decision prop might not be terrible. But yeah, I think I'm going to take Ruzabayev to get it done. And I'm just going to assume he's going to get it done early like he always does. So the under 1.5, -110. That is my bet.
Moving on then.
To Bill Algeo versus Kyle Nelson. Right now, Bill Algeo, your favorite. -245, Kyle Nelson coming back at +200. Yeah, I think Algeo is going to wear on him as this fight goes on. I also like the grappling advantage of Algeo as well. And yesterday on the show, we were talking about going to Atlantic City, and his agent invited us to him and Aaron Blanchfield's after party. So I'm going to be betting on Bill Algeo in a parlay.
God, I can't believe it.
What can I say?
How?
What were you going to say? Because I look like Kyle Nelson,
I
need to bet on him?
You're betting against yourself. Mm-hmm. You are betting against your... I can't believe they're inviting you to the after party.
Because I do look like Kyle Nelson.
He's going to get his ass beat, and then you're going to be at the party all night just taunting him. He's going to get drunk and fight you.
No, I'm actually not going to go.
You're not going?
If either of them lose, I'm not going. I can't be a part of that. I can't.
I mean, for sure not when Bill Algeo loses. It would just be, he has a couple. He can't tell who's who. He's like, what the shit, man?
I actually think Garam is a much better comparison than Kyle Nelson.
I mean, yes, Garam is. And the footballer whose name is escaping me.
Oh, Christian Eriksen, yeah. Like, especially with the shaved head, Christian Eriksen is like spot on.
But it doesn't matter. He's still close enough. On principle, I literally bet Kyle Nelson.
I like that. I like that. But I mean, I can't be the guy. It would be even worse as if I bet Kyle Nelson. Kyle Nelson wins. Then I show up at the after party looking like Kyle Nelson. And things really just go astray from there. Yeah, Senor Perfect. I have to do it. I'm sorry. Just a lot of thought had to go into every bet this week. You know, don't want to step on any toes. Got to support the state of New Jersey. Now we're adding sub props on fucking Chris Weidman. Hey,
my breakdown on this is entirely, well, shaved head Connor means we have to bet Kyle Nelson.
Yeah, if it was anyone but Bill Algeo, then yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, if it was anywhere but, then we'd be taking certain fighters. But yeah,
all this proves to me is that I believe in you, even when you don't believe in yourself.
I love it,
Connor.
I love it. I love the support. All right, let's finish off the main card. Chidi Njokwani taking on Reese McKee. And right now, Chidi, your favorite, minus 148, McKee plus 124. This line has severely dropped. I saw Chidi at minus 250, minus 225 for a while. A lot of money coming in on Reese McKee. Chidi dropping down to 170, 35 years old. Not the easiest thing to make 185 for him. It's going to be interesting to see how this one goes, man. You got a bet here?
I do. I've taken Chidi Njokwani under the very important rule that I'm just testing out betting on the people with the best nicknames. And I think Chidi Bang Bang is the best nickname on this card by a lot.
Chidi Bang Bang is a good one.
It's an exceptional one. I also do think, like, because I remember previously being like, ooh, a little bit interested in Reese McKee coming into the UFC. Like, had a decent little run in Cage Warriors. Guy with some ability. Immediately goes 0 for 2. Granted, Alex Morono, Khamzat Chimaev, tough dudes. Goes back to Cage Warriors, gets rattles off a few wins, comes back, and he's 0-3 in the UFC after his loss to Ong Lusa. So,
this
just not sure he's going to be able to build momentum.
This feels like this feels like a bet, no matter what, that everyone is going to go on Twitter afterward and be like, this is the easiest bet I ever made. It's either going to be,
oh, yeah,
Chidi was 35 years old and he was cutting down to 170. How was he ever going to beat anyone? His chin was gone. He's been finished eight times throughout his career against a guy that has exclusively won by finish, 13 out, yeah. wins, 13 by finish. Or it'll just be the flip side of like, how the fuck did you guys let Chidi become like a minus 135 against Reese McKee, who has yet to get a UFC win? And now he's 0-4 in the UFC. I just feel like this is one that everyone will go on Twitter and like the hindsight warriors will be out in mass.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, shout out to the hindsight warriors. Hindsight warriors.
I love the guys that are completely zip-lipped all the way up until fight time. And then the second the fight ends, they're on Twitter chirping everyone about certain bets. Those are the best type of people. What I did here, parlay piece, fight does not go to a decision. Feel strongly about that. Reese McKee has finished all of his wins. Chidi Njokwani, he gets into bangers and he either finishes people or he gets finished. I know he's had a couple decisions throughout the course of his UFC career, but like pretty exclusively, my man is either getting finished, been finished eight times in his career, or he is getting the finishes in the UFC. Four of his five have not gone through decision. On the flip side of that, I took Reese McKee inside the distance for the sole reason because of the line, plus 300. You've got Chidi at like minus 130 inside the distance, and you've got Reese McKee plus 300 in a fight that is lined minus 148, plus 124. And Reese McKee has finished all of his wins. 13 wins, 13 finishes, going against the guy who has now been finished eight times throughout the course of his career. I feel like if Reese McKee is going to win, it is almost exclusively going to be by finish. You're bumping that number of plus 124 up to plus 300. I feel like that should be lower.
I mean, yeah, it seems okay. I don't have any issue with that.
Do I think he's going to win? I don't know. He definitely could. If he weathers the early storm,
yeah.
Then I really think if we get to a second round, I think Reese McKee's chances of winning is going to be very high. Or he's just going to get put out flat in the first round.
I would agree. That does seem like the most likely outcomes either way here.
Either way, I think this is going to be a super fun fight. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be... let's stand, bang, have some fun, let the fans go wild, and it's going to be an enjoyable time. Let's get to the prelims. Another fight that I think is going to be super fun, Nate the Train Landwehr taking on Jamal Emmers. Right now, Emmers, your sizable favorite, sitting at minus 218. Landwehr coming back at plus 180. It's Nate the Train fight, so I think this one's going to be exciting. I didn't play a side. I wanted to play Nate, but I was like, man, I don't know. This is a tough matchup. I took the over 1.5 in a parlay. Landwehr, like, it kind of feels like he gets finished early or he just gets in the biggest dog fight ever and it's impossible to finish the guy. Either way, 9 of his last 12 over the 1.5. Emmers, 5 of his last 7. So over 1.5 in a parlay for me here. What do you got on this one?
I got nothing on this one. It's just too hard to ever feel like I have a read on what's about to happen in a Nate Landwehr fight because
Landwehr's
insane.
You're either looking at like just like kind of a shit bet that you're like, damn, you know, he had a chance, but it was never really that close. Or you're looking at like potentially the greatest bet of your life that you're going to have so much fun watching it cash. Like if you just, if you, you could never bet against him again if you took him against Ludovic Klein at like plus 300 and then the next fight you followed it up against David Onama at like plus 275 and he had that insane comeback. You could just never bet against Nate the Train again at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I just can never bet against or on him because who, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe he's going to get flying kneed out of the cage.
I was
going to
say, or you bet on him against Julian Arosa the fight before that Ludovic Klein won at minus money, and he got flying kneed in 56 seconds.
Yeah, it just immediately is dead, or he eats a million hard shots and just keeps kind of digging deep. Like, there's just no rhyme or reason that I can tell for what happens. And so, like, I kind of wanted to bet him just as a pretty sizable underdog here to Jamal Emmers, just because he is that chaos agent. But then I was thinking about it. I was like, am I going to feel good? Like, this is going to be a stressful bet almost certainly, because if you're betting on him, he rarely is going to win clean. Like, no, they're going to be moments. I was like, I don't need that stress in my life. I'm okay without it. I think it's a dog or pass situation, and I've just opted to pass.
Over 1.5 for me. Let's keep it rolling.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Jen Giroba taking on Lupi Godinez right now. Lupi minus 205, Jen Giroba plus 110. I am going to trust Lupi this week. Don't feel great about it. Sometimes she's tough to trust, and this is not the easiest matchup. What do we got here for you?
I'm trusting Lupi.
This is a bet that like I could see afterwards being like, I shouldn't have trusted her.
See, I see where you're coming from. I think that what this is going to be a bet where it is stressful and Lupi ultimately wins a fight that is close because Vera Jandroba is just a tough out. Like, she's going to make things a little harder than you would want it to be. But I think Lupi is just a much better athlete, can compete in all phases, can kind of dictate a lot of this fight. And so it might be harder than maybe you want when you're laying this sort of price minus 200 on her. But I do ultimately think that she is just, it might be a close, you know, decision where we're like, uh-oh, I hope the judges don't screw this up.
Yeah.
29-28. But I do think ultimately we'll get paid out, even if it's like by a tight split decision. I'm on Lupi. And I mean, at this point, we know what I'm doing. I'm betting the over 2.5. I've got it parlayed up with another over coming up later. A little not, just a little two-leg non-violence parlay for these two. I mean, Lupi Godinez is, I didn't want to bet her to win by decision just because it's like minus 150 or something. You're getting almost no value on it. But you know, 8 out of 10 of her UFC bouts have gone to decision. 5 out of 8 for Jean Giroba have gone to decision. It's very likely this goes long. So the over 2.5 is a parlay piece.
Love it. Let's keep it rolling. Julio Arce taking on Herbert Burns. Right now, Arce, a big favorite, minus 395. Burns coming back at plus 310. Yeah, Herbert Burns is not Gilbert Burns. He's got good finishing abilities, but man, the guy has enough cardio to make it through round one and then get off the stool in round two. And then he's pretty much cooked from there. Julio Arce, great takedown defense thus far in the UFC, which does not play well for Herbert Burns, a guy that's going to try to use his grappling to win this thing. Yeah, Julio Arce sitting at 95% takedown defense. I feel like he probably keeps this standing and he's able to just grind out a win over Herbert Burns, finishes him in round two or three and makes it look fairly convincing.
I'm sure that that is what will happen. I'm not laying this price and betting on this fight. I'm just, again, don't need the stress. I got plenty of other bets down. I'm good without this one.
Yeah, I parlayed up. Fight does not go the distance.
That's pretty solid prop in a Herbert Burns fight.
Herbert Burns, shout out to him, man. Seven straight fights, whether they win or lose, ending in round one or two. Let's keep it rolling. Connor Matthews taking on Dennis Bazooka. The Bazooka is back, Staten Island's own, and he is a minus 125 favorite to Connor Matthews plus 105. I'm thinking as we're going through this podcast of just doing like a NYNJPA parlay. I mean, it's looking like it's a hefty payout.
That would be
payout.
A big number.
A hefty payout. Yeah, plus 86.55 if you took Petroski.
Just a Northeast parlay.
Yeah, Petroski, PA, Bazooka, Staten Island, Arce fights out of New Jersey, Bill Algio, PA, Weidman, New York, Luque, and Blanchfield, New Jersey as well. I might. It's not hitting.
But, no chance all of that hits, but yeah.
But you just...
But maybe.
You just never know. Yeah, and this one I am on the... This is... I parlayed up the Landwehr over 1.5 with this over 1.5. Other than the Emmers fight, which I know doesn't bode well for an over 1.5 for Bazooka. He's been pretty durable throughout his career. 9 of his 13 going to decisions. Matthews... Both times he's kind of taken that step up to UFC level on Contender Series. Both of those went to a decision. I see this one going longer. Any action for you?
No, I did want to ask you a question, Connor. Please ask me. I actually just don't think we've had this come up. How do you feel about other Connors? Do you feel a kinship to other Connors fighting? Even if, you know, obviously don't spell the name the same way. Because if there's another Jed that was ever fighting, I'm betting that man until the day I die.
Yeah,
but
so
I don't
like,
know if it's the same.
It's good for the brand. I'll always be supportive of a Connor, but I would really feel a kinship if they spelled it the same way as me.
That does totally make sense.
That's the biggest thing. Like, Connor Matthews winning would be great for the Connor brand, though the brand is, you know, fairly strong, having a former double champ being a part of it. Also spells the name.
Hollywood movie star also spells
the name, you know, quite different than me as well there. But if we ever get a CON and ER making a run, he will be getting bet every single fight. That is for sure.
Okay, that makes sense. The other thing I will note here, I almost bet Connor Matthews just because I hate Dennis Bazooka because he doesn't go by Bazooka. And
yes,
I can't support that man ever until he wisens up about the nickname. The inverse of the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, just the worst nickname of all time. But Connor Matthews on the most recent season is tough, and he was a guy I put in the JAG, just another guy category. I broke down the numbers, Connor. I broke down the numbers for a fight we're about to talk about in just a moment. But then I went back and I looked at all of the rookies out of Contender Series, where I ranked them and how they've done since that most recent season. JAGs are 3-4. So my saying, hey, that's just another dude, that they are not turning in a stellar performance resume at the moment. So I'm not in on Connor Matthews. I am in on Connor Burks, aka Kyle Nelson, but not in on Connor Matthews.
Bingo. But no bet on Dennis Bazooka.
No bet at all.
A Northeastern favorite parlay pays out plus 814.
Not bad.
That's a lot less though than that's taking Petroski and Weidman out. Man, It's a sizable difference there, man. That's a sizable difference. All right. Let's keep it rolling on this card. Ibo Aslan taking on Anton the Pleasure Man Turkali. The rematch we've all been waiting for. Beat him once. Can he do it again? Just 3.5 years ago, Ibo Aslan, only loss on the record. 12 times victorious, one time facing defeat, and that was against Anton Turkali. Can he do it again? I don't know.
I don't know. But I did take the fight, does not go to decision last time and ended in round two. Winner, flip a coin. What say you? You got a bet here?
I'm on Ibo Aslan.
Let's go.
Ibo.
Turkish Delight.
I don't think he can do it again. Sorry, AK Lee. I know you love the pleasure man, but that's just not happening here. Ibo Aslan, yeah, lost him once before. That means motivated, ready to come back. More importantly, he was a big pause in the puppy contender series prospect. That was the penultimate, the top level of prospect. Not to toot my own horn here, but thus far 6-0. The guys I pegged as the best prospects, 6-0. Ibo Aslan's one of those. I think he's going to get a little bit of revenge and a great UFC debut. So I'm on Ibo Aslan.
Ibo Aslan it is.
This is my last straight bet of the evening. I have one more parlay piece to close out my parlay, and then I'm done.
But I'm going to guess it's on the over in the Melissa Gatto Victoria Dudikova fight.
How did you know, Connor?
Because it's women.
It's a women's flyweight bout, which coincidentally I think we're talking about right now.
We sure are. Dudikova, yes, you mentioned it, flyweight bout, moving up to 125 after she missed weight last time and spent most of her time down at strawweight. And I actually don't think that's going to be good for her here. I think she was able to use some size down at 115, and now she's going to be fighting Melissa Gatto, who I think will actually have a bit of a size advantage on her. Like the cardio of Gatto. Think the scramblings on the ground are going to be interesting. I don't mind the striking of Gatto either. I think Gatto plucks the O away from old Dudikova.
Would not be at all surprised by that. But I mainly think that we're just going to be scrambling around on the ground a bunch.
Okay.
And they are both, I think that they should be, neither fighter will be able to get a finish, I don't think. I think this will just be positional control. Whoever ends up winning that will win the fight. Wouldn't shock me if it is Gatto, but I don't think she, you know, moves to the back or takes away an arm. I think it's just, we get a full 15. So this is the other over. The over 2.5 with the Jean-Jérôme Godinez over 2.5 pays out plus 105.
Boom. Love it. All right, let's move along. Two more fights tonight. Andre Petrosky taking on Jacob Malhoun. Right now, Malhoun, your favorite, coming in at minus 238, Petrosky plus 195. No bet here for you.
No bet here. Great fight, though. This legitimately should be really fun. I didn't feel like grinding the tape on this and figuring out who was going to win the grappling, which is what this is going to be.
I was
going
to say, yeah, this is going to be like a glorified grappling match.
Like, yeah, this is collegiate wrestling with some punches mixed in. And I was like, I don't want to have to go back and watch all this. It's a great fight. I'm happy to just watch it as a fan.
Yeah, Malhoun, very wrestling heavy. I mean, shoots just an insane amount of takedowns. Petrosky, more BJJ, has some nice submissions. I actually think he's got all the finishing upside. I mean, Malhoun he's not really looking to finish people. I am with you. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be close. So for that reason, back in the pride of Philly, Andre Petrosky plus 3.5. Keep it close.
I like it.
Think he goes to a decision. Think he has all the finishing upside as well. Petrosky to keep it close, plus 3.5.
I love that bet. Actually, I might end up tailing that.
Come on. Minus 150.
We'll see, but it's a great bet. I do think this fight's close one way or another, so getting plus 3.5 feels solid.
Hopefully. Knock on wood. I feel like I miss these all the time. All right, last fight of the night. Angel Pacheco taking on Colin Loughrein. Right now, Loughrein, your big favorite, minus 360, Pacheco plus 285. Never thought I'd have Loughrein in a parlay, but I do.
Love that with
Bill Algio. Pacheco, he throws crazy volume. I mean, if you go back and watch that Contender Series fight, just don't think he's that great.
Oh, he's not, but he's fun.
He's fun. Like there's a chance that Loughrein gets caught, but like, I think that going to France, fighting a Frenchman who's a tough out in Gomi is going to be a good test, a good lesson for a really young kid, getting the first loss, getting just booed into oblivion and then applauded when he ended up taking, the L. I said, William Gomi, Taylor Lapolis is who I meant, my mistake. I think he bounces back here, though. I think he gets this one done. And I think he's live for a finish as well. Four knockouts in his Cage Warriors run. Give me Lockerang to get this one done.
I don't have any bets. Unfortunately, Angel Pacheco, while fun, guy who took two bites at the apple to get in the UFC off Contender Series, isn't all that good, but he is really exciting. I did briefly flirt, honestly, with the Cage Warrior Champion parlay.
Oh, wow.
Of Lockerain McKee instead of doing Chidi and Jokowani, but Chidi Bang Bang's too good of a nickname, and Reese McKee is not a man who has been victorious in the UFC, so I didn't feel like I should put him in a parlay. But I like what Lockerain's got. I think he can be maybe not like a full player, but an interesting dude. And stick around even after the Lapolis loss. So I don't mind the bet.
All right. That is that. 51 minutes in, 51 minutes down, 14 fights up. Knock them all clean down. UFC Atlantic City.
Woo!
I'm pretty hyped. I am pretty hyped for this one.
I mean, it's always fun to be there, you know?
It's always fun to be there, man. I think it's going to be a good time. I'm going to maybe do a little gambling of my own at some casinos in AC. Should be a great time. Never been to Atlantic City. Doing this is a little baby step to warm me up to Vegas for 300.
Have you ever been to Vegas?
Never been to Vegas either.
Man, that 300 just is going to be an electric weekend for you.
Electric. Electric weekend.
Super jelly.
And then smashed in between that, got to do a double wedding weekend down in Atlanta where I will be in both of the weddings. Ooh, so,
Where are these weddings happening? Like, one is in the city or?
One is at the Swan House and one is in Alpharetta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Fancy stuff with the Swan House paying out, but black tie too. Black tie wedding.
Love a black tie wedding.
Should be a great time though. We'll have that's next week. Wow, holy shit! That's time comes up on
coming
you.
That to the is A, baby.
That is next week. The return home, and we've got Chris Curtis versus Brendan Allen too taking place at the Apex.
I mean, and this is the best kind of rematch because it's the same as the first kind. Chris Curtis stepping in on short notice gets the W. Stepping in on short notice again. Can he do it again?
Can he do it again? We need this fight. They've both kind of gone in opposite directions since the last time this one happened. We didn't get it booked, but here we are. Hey, Morgan Shahri, the last pirate versus Chepe Mariscal. That won't be too bad. Ah, Joshua Van back. Trevor Peak. Let's go.
Let's go.
Wow, this is... I should just stop looking at these cards before we get off the air.
It's not great.
Dylan,
it's going to have very few farts on the fart scoring system. So,
Dylan Budka versus Cesar Almeida.
Budka's a Contender Series guy, I believe.
I think Cesar Almeida is too.
I'm certain Cesar Almeida is because I think I had him as like a mid-level prospect.
Ah, Alatang Lee. Oh, yeah. Norman Dumont.
It's going to be electric, buddy. Can't wait for that weekend.
We'll see you then.
Love y'all.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.